Hey, this is Bob Christensen, and you might know me from Mustard Seed Media, and this is episode 26 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks, and now your host.
The three dishes he can make are pad thai, pound cake, and homemade pizza. Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Bob Christensen. Bob is owner and front-end developer at Mustard Seed Media, and today we're going to be talking about making a living in Drupal. So, Bob, how are you doing?
How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. Do you want to go ahead and give us a little background for people who aren't familiar with you about who you are?
Sure. My name is Bob Christensen, but most people don't know that, actually. Many people know me as Rob Feature in the many different online personas that I have at Drupal.org or on Twitter or on a former podcast that I did called Geeks and God. I've always been Rob Feature, and everyone's kind of like, "What's your name exactly? And who are you?" But Bob Christensen is actually my real name. And I run MustardSeedMedia.com, and a lot of people know it because of the video podcasts that are over there. But we're a Drupal shop, or as you'll find out soon, I'm a Drupal shop.
Good. So how did you get started with Drupal?
Yeah, it was kind of a long road to Drupal for me, and a completely not expected road. If you know, some people listening, if you've met me at DrupalCons or Drupal camps or whatever, I think a lot of people are kind of like, "Oh, you're not really a web developer, right?" And it's because I didn't really start as a web developer. I went through many other variations of media before I actually got to the web. I never took a programming class in my life. I learned HTML, CSS, PHP all on my own. So not exactly your traditional route to Drupal. I think a lot of people that come to Drupal are PHP developers or other developers that see Drupal as a really powerful framework and jump into it. But that wasn't my path at all. My path was, basically started Mustard Seed first before it was even a web shop. It was a video production shop and audio production shop, and we did lots of that. And, you know, over time I had done web design and stuff like that. And somebody introduced me to Drupal, and history follows that, I suppose. not the way most people get into Drupal, but you know, I love it. So I think that path actually gives me a unique view of Drupal, where, you know, I know how powerful it is, and I know that it's an awesome open source project, but I have no real attachment as a programmer to it. A lot of programmers are really hardcore into Drupal, and you know, I make my living from Drupal, and it's all I do, but at the same time, I kind of think of myself as a regular person using Drupal as opposed to a developer using Drupal. And I think maybe those perspectives are a little bit different.
Yeah, I would agree. People who listen to this podcast probably know that I started out as a music teacher and just recently switched to do Drupal full time. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you.
Of other people that aren't developers can use it. You know, it's a tool that has a lot of really good front end stuff and site building stuff that's built, and a theme system that's easy to learn. So I think that's, you know, that's a benefit where guys like you and I actually can make a living from it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, okay. So what have you been working at Mustard Seed? What's the most recent project you've been working on?
I suppose I should talk about what Mustard Seed is, and I'm going to talk about why it is very specific, in a little bit, but, we only do, Drupal development and only church or, Christian ministry development. And that is a very important distinction, not so much because it's a church, that's kind of my personal thing, but because of the niche market aspect of all of that. And I'll talk about that in a minute. For years and years, I've been doing Drupal for almost 7 years. And for almost that whole time, I've done church development, like small churches. And it's only been in the last couple of years that I've gotten into larger organizational type development. Our biggest ongoing project right now is Sojo.net, which is Sojourners Magazine. And that's been a really great site. It's, you know, we built it a couple of years ago and been maintaining it and improving it and extending it ever since. It's a Drupal 6 site. And, you know, it's one of those projects where you work on a single project long enough and it just, like, it's teaching you Drupal as you use it, which is really exciting because you get to do stuff that isn't just off the shelf kind of stuff. You actually have to come up with solutions for stuff. And that's what that project's been for me. And that's, you know, that's kind of my biggest ongoing project that I really enjoy working on.
Okay. Well, next I was going to ask you what you did before you started Mustard Seed Media, thinking that you were going to say programming or, you know, something like that. But I guess you said you do like audio and video is what you're doing.
I actually owned a recording studio for a bunch of years, all the way through high school, all the way through college, and then coming out of college. And I owned and ran a recording studio. And, you know, that didn't give me that's relevant, very relevant to this podcast, because while it didn't give me any web development tools per se, it gave me a lot of how the heck do you start a business tools and how do you either fail or not fail running a business kind of tools. Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, one of the really important things for Mustard Seed that I'll probably mention again a little bit later is the ability to do a lot of social media stuff with audio and video. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me a lot of those tools as well. I think, you know, I didn't come from a web background, but I think that was one of my best assets coming to Drupal. Was because I was able to bring a lot of other stuff that could make a business successful other than just programming know-how.
Right. Right. Okay. So let's jump into the Mustard Seed, and what exactly makes you different from, you know, most other Drupal shops?
Yeah. So, I think one of the big perspectives that's going to come to this conversation and that people are going to hear probably is that, hey, this isn't really what I expected to hear. When someone asks me, you know, what does Mustard Seed do and what's important to you and what are your goals and stuff like that? I don't think my goals are generally the same as a lot of people's. And the reason is because unlike a lot of Drupal shops, I purposely stay small. Mustard Seed, and I always kind of laugh when people are like, oh, how many people work at Mustard Seed? And the answer is me. I am Mustard Seed. And that's intentional. You know, it doesn't sound as cool to say, you know, to be able to say, oh yeah, man, I've got like 50 employees and we rock Drupal. It's like, you know, that would be really cool to be able to say that, in theory, but from my experience running a business and my experience, dealing with employees and dealing with payroll and a whole bunch of that other stuff that we're going to talk about, I'm not interested in that. So I think one of the things that Mustard Seed is makes Mustard Seed different is that I'm a single employee running the business, and then I use freelancers. You know, the reality is I do about 95, maybe 98% of everything that Mustard Seed does, I do myself. But then I've got a team of freelancers for specialty items that are a little bit outside of my expertise. And so I think that model of single employee plus freelancers without really the desire to be a massive company, it makes Mustard Seed really different and is a good preface to all the advice maybe that I'm going to give as we talk about businesses. You know, everybody wants to be big. Everyone wants to run a big Drupal shop. I think that's kind of an old idea. I think massive companies are an out-of-date idea or becoming an out-of-date idea, especially in the web development world. I mean, why have a massive company when you can have a group of people working together all making a living? I'm sure people would argue with that, but that's my view on it. And I think that whole outlook makes things really different. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the other things that I think is really, it's different in the Drupal world, and it's people kind of look at me like I'm a little bit crazy, but I've purposely built a niche market for myself that is so narrow that the good side of it is I basically have almost no competition for what I do. And when I say that, you know, I think back to when I started Mustard Seed, and I had a lot of people saying, hey, you know, can you do a WordPress theme for me? Will you build me a WordPress site? Hey, you know, can you work in Joomla? Blah, blah, blah. And my initial thinking was, sure, you know, more money, more clients. Sure. Of course I'm going to do that. And then one day I heard a podcast by, it's the Boag World podcast. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it, many years ago. And he was talking with someone who said, look, I really have a narrow focus on what I do in web development, and that's what makes me successful. And that podcast really convinced me to say, no, I'm not doing WordPress. I'm not doing Joomla. I'm only doing Drupal. And then I sort of took it to even the next level of saying, I'm not only going to stick with just doing Drupal. I'm only going to do church websites. And what that means, you know, a lot of people say, wow, that's really limiting. You know, how do you get enough business and all that kind of stuff? But the reality of things are that I've found is the more niche you go in your market, the more you're the only guy standing when people want somebody specialized to work on their thing. Pretty much today, I mean, I think there's some other people that I probably don't really know or know about, but pretty much if you want an established Drupal developer who does church websites, I'm pretty much it. You know, so if you are a Drupal person and you know you want to use Drupal and you have a church site that needs built, you know, you go to Mustard Seed. And that perception in the Drupal community has been really important, and that has only been possible because I haven't done other stuff. I've built that reputation for just working in that niche market, and I think that's a really important thing that makes us different too.
Yeah. As a side note, Boag World is going to go weekly again this fall. So that's kind of exciting. Okay, so when you decided to actually do Drupal, like make the switch from your audio video career, what made you decide that it was a good time or a good idea to actually go and do web development?
Just as I was looking at your outline, Brian, this was the only question I looked at, and I was kind of like, I don't know. You know, one of the things that's going to be my suggestion later on is to sort of go where things take you. And I think I was fortunate that that things took me to Drupal. I was fortunate that things didn't take me to Joomla, or else I might be kind of in a harder situation right now. I probably would have been fine if things took me to WordPress because there's a lot of work there. But Drupal is like the up and coming powerhouse in web development. I mean, bottom line. And so I think for me it was kind of luck of the draw. There was never really a decision where I was like, okay, I'm going to switch from video to web development. The reality was I sort of did both, and I started getting more business from doing web development than I did video, and that just sort of trailed off. And I think things just sort of led that way and ended up being good. So, you know, one of my pieces of advice in starting a business is go where it takes you. You know, go with what works. Don't try and, you know, force the square peg in the round hole.
Okay. Now before we jump in, let's take a minute just to define freelance versus Drupal shop, because like you said, you're a little bit different. So I want to get your take on the difference between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people look at me and they go, are you freelance? Are you Drupal? It's just you. So that tells me you're freelance, but you're a company. So that tells me you're not. And I think this distinction is maybe less important than people make it out to be, maybe. To me, the big difference is in freelance versus running your own shop is really who you're working for. Freelancers tend to work for other Drupal shops, taking work for other Drupal shops and just doing it. They're much more like developers or themers or designers or whatever they are. But they're basically doing Drupal work. Running a Drupal shop is different in the sense that you have a whole lot more than that. And to boot, you're dealing directly with your clients. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can talk about maybe plus and minuses, in a minute about, you know, why go one way or the other. But those are the distinctions I see is, you know, freelance is kind of like you're doing mostly hands-on Drupal. You know, a shop, you actually have to run your business and deal with clients and do your accounting and do all of that kind of stuff on a much higher level than you have to, than going freelance. So those are kind of the differences, I guess, I see, as we start to talk about these.
Okay. So do you have any suggestions for somebody who's just starting and let's say they're going to start with a freelance route?
Yeah. So if you're starting freelance, you know, I get this question a lot. You know, how do I get into getting paid to do Drupal? And the first answer, I've actually heard a surprising amount of advice the other way. But my first answer is keep your day job. You know, Drupal is very easy to do at home after work. And I think you probably have to accept the fact that you're going to be working way more hours, you know, because you're going to be working your day job plus Drupal, you know, to get going. And that's just the way it is. You know, that's just going to have to happen. So keeping that source of income, and then, you know, that gives you the opportunity as you're getting more and more and more work, as you're building up your business and you're building up your name, you're also getting paid more for what you're doing because you're doing more work. So you can slowly try and offset, you know, your day job hours with Drupal hours. And then eventually you'll just get to a point where you're like, you know what, it's going to be a bit of a risk, but I'm going to take a jump and I'm just going to go freelance. So I guess, not trying to do it all at once is my first piece of advice. A lot of people will say, just jump in, man, just go for it. Just, you know, you gotta use up your life savings and just go for your dream. Well, that's fine unless you fail. And then that's not fine. That's not a very good idea. So, I say there's time. You probably need to learn stuff anyway if you're doing freelance, or, you know, if you're doing trying to get into freelance and you're not doing Drupal full time, you probably have a lot to learn. So jumping in with 2 feet probably isn't a good idea because you might not be able to take on the work that you need to be able to pay all the bills. So that's the first one. The second one is what I talked about before, is to really specialize in what you do. You know, my experience says if you're going to choose Drupal, just do Drupal. Don't do anything else, because every second you spend learning WordPress is not a second you're spending learning Drupal. And Drupal, as we all know, is so complex and so powerful that unless you spend a lot of time and energy learning it, you're not going to be able to do what you need to do to be able to make a living at it. So the more you specialize, the better. You know, just don't specialize in Drupal for churches, because that's my thing. So, you know, and, you know, I think the next step after that is to start small, as I sort of said, with keeping your day job, because it's really, really important to get quality work under your belt that you can show people. You know, as I look for freelancers, if someone says, oh yeah, I've sort of worked on these sites and I've kind of done this over here and I've sort of done that, honestly, I don't really want to hire them because I don't really know what they can do. Now, if they said, look, I've built this whole site start to finish, and I did everything on it, that tells me what you can do. And so it's really important to get some of those projects under your belt. And I think at the same time, it's important to get full projects under your belt. So you can go to a potential employer and say, I did this whole thing. You don't have to wonder what I did and what I didn't do. So start small, but get some projects over time building up under your belt, so you can show potential employers what you can do. The other thing, and this is even harder now than it was when I started. When I started, you know, I actually started doing Drupal at $35 an hour, or maybe even $30 an hour. And I thought, wow, that's you know, that's pretty good. If I can make $30 an hour, $35 an hour doing Drupal, that's really cheap if you're trying to make a living. As I'm sure lots of people know, but that's unfortunately where you have to start. Work cheap, but do quality work. You know, the biggest thing that you want to earn when you're doing all of this is a good reputation. And doing affordable work, and even letting people know, hey, you know, I'm doing affordable work because I'm just trying to get in. You know, so I'm willing to do this for you, and I want you to notice how good the work is at this price point. In that way, when you raise your prices later, there's some rationality behind it because they knew you were going to do that anyway, probably. You know, and getting a reputation, not only with potential clients, but in the Drupal community is super important. You know, I get a lot of my business because other people in the Drupal community, Drupal shops, freelancers, individuals say, oh, you're a church that wants to do Drupal, go to Mustard Seed, because they know who I am through cons and, you know, Drupal cons and Drupal camps, through social media, through my podcast that I do, all of that stuff. People know who Mustard Seed is, and they know what we do. So we have that reputation for, hey, if you do this, you know, if you need a church site, go to Mustard Seed. All of that stuff is because of reputation. So it's really important, even though you're not getting paid to be on Twitter and Facebook and help people and contribute to the community, in the long run, it's very important, and it pays off.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I mentioned before going where you're led. this is kind of like maybe not cool to say on a Drupal shop, but dude, if everyone around you and all of your resources are doing WordPress, do WordPress. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's not as good as Drupal. I'll acknowledge, you know, that people can argue against that. But if all of your resources, you know, if you know three awesome WordPress developers and they're there to answer questions for you, and there's a huge WordPress community in your town and whatever, that's telling you something, you know? I mean, maybe you want to do Drupal and that's fine, but it's going to be a lot harder. So I would say, look at the resources around you and try and make use of those. I never, ever would have gotten into Drupal if I didn't have Drupal people that I knew. It just wouldn't have happened. You know, I could have tried, but I never would have learned anything. So I think that's a really important thing. And you know, I see this so often, and this is like a pet peeve of mine, but the Drupal community is getting like to be a rock star community where we have like these celebrities. And I'll be honest, man, it drives me crazy because to me, I know so many people in the Drupal community that are phenomenal developers and nobody knows who they are, and they're great people and they do awesome work. And I say, be that guy. Don't try and be like the famous Drupal guy, because it's going to distract from the work that you do. And it's going to distract from, in a way, from a good quality reputation. So I say, don't try and be a rock star. Just do good quality work and connect with the people around you. And that's going to give you long-term success. I think there's a lot of controversy when you're a Drupal rock star that, you know, people love you or they hate you. It's better to just do solid work and keep your mouth shut. And I think that's better if you want to make an actual long-term living doing Drupal. I know that's not cool advice, but that's my two cents on that.
No, I like it. It's good. Okay, so the next part is kind of, do you have any suggestions for small shops and people who are just beginning on this road?
Yeah, of course I do. If no one could tell so far, I like to talk. the small shop thing is awesome. And that's sort of what I do here at Mustard Seed. But it's sort of all of that stuff I just talked about, plus like five times more, because you have to manage clientele, you have to manage accounting, you have to manage projects, you have to find freelancers, you have to do all of this stuff. And not to mention, you have to go find work. There are major pluses and there are major minuses. Now, why do I run a shop instead of freelance for other people? One is because I have a niche market I wanted to work in. I wanted to build church websites. That's like my passion and sort of it integrates with the rest of my life. So I wanted to do that. And if I was a freelancer working for somebody else, I have no control over who my clientele is. Running a small shop, I do. Now, of course, the downside of that is I have to find those clients. I've just sort of been lucky in that sense, in the fact that they've usually found me because of all the stuff I talked about before, the niche marketing and all the social media and stuff like that. One of the really good things about running your own shop is you have total control of your clientele. One of my big things is I only want to do, I mean, this is everyone, I guess. I only don't want to do work that I want to do. And I only want to work when I want to work. As a freelancer, you can't really do that. As a freelancer, you basically have to work when the person tells you to work, and you have to work on what they tell you to. I would rather make a little bit less money and work maybe a little bit harder and do what I want to do. I guess maybe that's one of the things that I see that's a different with a shop when you're running your own show, is that you can do what you want to do. And if you're done working at, 2 o'clock on a Friday, you're done and you can go away. You can go home. And you can't really do that as a freelancer because people are relying on you to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And you can, so with a shop like that, you can structure your business around that. Obviously, like I said, you have to find work, but you also have to potentially find employees and freelancers and people that are going to work for you. And not only do you have to find them and make sure everyone's doing their job and there's a lot of management stuff, but you also have to spend, a lot of time and money and everything else doing all of the legal stuff and the accounting stuff and the employee stuff that you wouldn't have to do if you're just a freelancer. And so, when I decided to stay a small shop, what that really meant for me is I'm never going to have an employee. I sort of have decided that. I've had lots of opportunities to do that. And as I looked in, as I just looked at the paperwork and everything else that was necessary, I just sort of said, no, thanks. I'd rather just hire freelancers, and I think that's better for everybody. So employees are a big part of this. And, you know, again, though, in the end, if you decide, I mean, I'm kind of in the middle, I guess, because I run my own shop, but I don't have employees. So that means that I really am working for myself. You know, I got asked to sponsor a Drupal camp recently, financially, and I kind of felt bad because, unlike most shops, I don't have an advertising budget. I don't have a sponsor or Drupal camp budget because my shop is specifically built to support me. And that's sort of intentional. And but it's something that anyone can do. It's sort of like a hybrid, I guess, between a freelance and a shop. But those are some of the plus and minuses, I guess, I see of freelancing versus running a shop. And I think there's good on both ends, depending on what you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so I asked on Twitter if anybody had questions for you because I told them I was going to be talking with you about this. And Brock Boland got back to me and he said, I'd be curious to hear about handling the overhead, the client management, taxes, all of the run your own business kind of stuff.
Yeah, don't fool yourself in thinking that you're not going to have to do that stuff because you are. Even if you're a freelancer, there's a lot of stuff you're going to have to do that you take for granted that if you work a job right now that your boss does for you. You're going to have to deal with your taxes. You're going to have to deal with an accountant. You're going to have to do all of that stuff. And obviously, a shop is more intense, especially if you have employees, than going freelance. But you're going to have to do all that stuff. I'm not exactly, you know, it's kind of a big area, but a couple of pieces of advice just from my experience that I would say is, one, don't neglect the business side of things. If you really just want to be a Drupal developer, then freelance or go get hired someplace. Don't try and run your own thing. Because even freelancers have to do some of this. So don't neglect the business side of it, but also don't let it consume you. I see a lot of people that are like, I've got so much business stuff to do that I don't do any Drupal development, so I have to hire people. So you got to find a balance. And you know, for me, I have an accountant that does everything for me, but I've figured out a way that I see him for 2 hours once a year, and that's it. Because over time, he's taught me how to manage my books all year, which is pretty simple. And so I have to pay attention to that stuff and I have to do it, but I don't have to think about it every single day. I've hired a professional when I need them. And otherwise, you know, I'm able to sit and just do Drupal stuff, which is great. I would also say start simple. Every business that I started was, you know, I started as like a, they call them DBAs. So like a doing business as. When I started my studios, I actually started that way, as just like that. That basically means that I'm me and I'm going to accept money to do work. I'm not a business. I'm not a corporation. I'm not anything. Now you get into some liability questions. The good thing is the web, there's a lot less liability than there is if you own a building or things like that. But if you want to do it sort of the next level up, usually an LLC, at least in the US, is the way to do all that. And so I say start simple, start small. Don't like jump in as a corporation before you really know what you're doing. You can always sort of graduate to that as you get more and more work. You know, and the biggest thing, and I learned this late, and unfortunately I learned this late. Up until a couple of years ago, I did all my project management via email, which was awful. And I would constantly forget things and lose things and frustrate clients and stuff like that. And so a few years ago, I switched to Basecamp for all my project management and my client management. And that's been just amazing. I couldn't live without it. There's lots of systems that do this. I love Basecamp. My clients find it easy to use and I don't have to manage it. It's not a Drupal install that I have to keep up and running. So I like that part of it too. So I guess I would say, don't think that you're not going to have to do any business stuff, but also try not to get too consumed by it. Just do what you need to do and then move on.
Okay, cool. Michael Potter also asked a question. And just to give a little background, first he said that he just launched a Drupal web design company a few months ago, and business has been good, but the workload's been getting too much. So he says they decided they need to hire at least one developer, but haven't been able to get anybody with Drupal experience. So his question was, how does a Drupal firm efficiently staff its employees? And the two questions specifically he said are, do we wait for the perfect candidate to come along, or do we hire developers and then just train them on Drupal?
Yeah, if you haven't guessed already, I have no idea. Because like I said, for me, it's a question of growth. I decided a long time ago that I'm not going to have any employees. But at the same time, I do deal with this with freelancers. And I mentioned it sort of previously just a little bit that, you know, I'm not a fan. Like, I'm not in this to train people. I like my business is structured that I have to do Drupal work, you know, and I have to get Drupal work done. You know, the time that it takes to train people to do Drupal is lost time just getting stuff done. Because, you know, no matter how much I train them, I'm going to be able to still do things 10 times faster than they can probably anyway, unless they've been doing Drupal as long as I have. So for me, you know, and I don't say that like as an ego thing, it's just a reality of Drupal takes a long time to learn. And the longer you spend, the faster you can do things. So for me, I always look for people that already know what they're doing. Now, the reality in the Drupal world right now is that it's very hard to find quality people that aren't completely booked or aren't charging, you know, $150 an hour. So it's tough. And, you know, for me, because I opted to not have employees, I deal with this with freelancers. And it's hard. And my choice has been I'm not going to train people because – I mean, who knows? I could train them and then they would quit, you know, or something. And then I just wasted all that time. So unless they spend enough time to really learn so much that they can do things pretty much as fast as I can, I don't really see the point in doing that. But, you know, again, I'm not exactly your traditional business model.
Hmm. Okay.
One thing I want to throw in here too, that I can't believe I haven't said it yet, because this is and I should have said it right at the beginning. This is my number one piece of advice and my number one thing I learned about starting a business and having a successful business. And it's so simple, and yet people ignore it because it's not fun. To have a successful business, be it Drupal or something else, it's as simple as not spending any money. Bottom line.
Right.
You know, when I ran a recording studio, you have no idea, you know, people in the computer industry have no idea how expensive recording equipment is. You know, when I moved to the computer or to the web development industry, I was like, man, everything's like free. This is awesome. But, you know, in the recording industry, I'd spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on equipment. And why did I do that? Because, and I think this is the key, people feel like when they start a business, they have an excuse to spend money. They say, I'm now a business. I just registered my LLC, so I deserve a new computer.
Hmm.
I deserve to go buy, I don't know, I deserve to rent an office. I deserve to go do, you know, do all of these things that businesses do, quote unquote. And my best business advice is don't do that. I work at my house, so I have no overhead whatsoever. All of my business equipment consists of an iMac, and I have a laptop because sometimes I like to go work at Starbucks or something. But the reality is the more money you spend, every single dollar you spend is a dollar that is making your business fail. So think of it that way. Think of like every dollar that leaves my pocket is one more chance that I'm not going to make it. And I'm not going to be able to do this for a living. And so I had to learn that a long time ago. And not giving yourself that license, not saying, oh, I'm a business, so it's okay to spend money. There's really no difference between your business earning a dollar and you earning a dollar, in the sense that if your business fails, you don't have a job. So don't say, oh, it's a business expense, so I can buy it. Or, yeah, it's a write-off. That's like things people say to justify buying stuff. Don't do it. Don't spend any money. Keep the computer you have if it actually can contact the internets and, you know, work in free text editors and use Drupal, because everything else is basically free. And you can do your job with zero overhead, and that's how your business is going to make it.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Okay, I guess it's time to wrap up then.
Yeah.
I like to ask everybody that comes on the show a couple of questions. And the first one is there something that you are really excited about that's maybe up and coming or that you think looks really cool?
APIs in general. You know, people, sort of the smart people, figured out years ago that the web isn't going to be the web as we know it in the future. It's going to be systems and machines and software talking to each other that isn't necessarily centralized in one place. So APIs to me is the future. I'm dying to build something that is completely API based. I don't even know what that would be yet. But I'm super excited about how easy it is in a Drupal site now to call Facebook and get Facebook information from a user, or how simple it is to build your own mapping solution with MapQuest APIs. All of that kind of stuff is to me is really powerful, and it's the future, and it's awesome. So I'm excited to see where that stuff's going, and the iPhone apps and stuff like that are really pushing it, and are making it really cool. So I think that's going to be really good stuff. But I'm also honestly looking forward to not doing Drupal someday. I love Drupal, and it's a great system, but you can only stare at a screen so long. And so this is my pitch to stop sitting at your desk and think about life beyond Drupal too. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of Drupal developers get too plugged into their screens, and that's all they do. So I'm interested in farming. I want to be a farmer. Maybe I'll still do Drupal and be a farmer, but that's what I want to do.
You just got chickens recently, right?
I just get chickens recently. Yeah. It's exciting stuff. I even started a farm group on Drupal.org, on groups.drupal, and it was like Drupal farmers or something, and there aren't very many, so it didn't last very long.
That's strange. I would have thought there'd been hundreds.
Figure.
Okay, well, where can people go to find out more about you and the things that you're working on?
MustardSeedMedia.com. You can go there, and there's links to Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. And that's how I pretty much, I'm on Twitter and Facebook all day because I stare at a screen like everybody else. So you can find me over there. If you want to read my rants on many different things, you can go to BobChristensen.com. And you can find me on Drupal.org. If you search Rob Feature, you'll probably find me in more places than if you search Bob Christensen.
All right, fair enough. Okay, Bob, thanks for coming on. Everything sounds good, and it's really helpful to me since I'm just starting this, and I know that I've had a couple people ask me to have you on to talk about this, so I'm sure it's going to be really well received.
I hope so. I hope I didn't talk too much. I know I did. I always do, but it's what I do.
That was good. All right, well, we'll talk to you later, Bob. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, man.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.